6 minutes past 12. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Man in Line on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Winch with you through till 1 today. Well, 60 days of no further confirmed positive tests for coronavirus. The Isle of Man, no active cases. The number of cases remains at 336. 7,458 concluded tests. 15 people waiting for results. 7 people waiting for a test, 5 of whom are part of the extended testing regime. Next update is at 4 o'clock today. And there's only one media briefing per week. It will be this coming Thursday at 4 o'clock. But crikey, everything has changed today because now people are leaving the Isle of Man to the UK and beyond. And we'll have more about that as the day goes on, certainly on the show. Ewan Gorn was live at the sea terminal this morning to watch the people leaving the Isle of Man. Of course, you can go, but if you come back, you do have to self-isolate. We'll be looking at that and more. And interestingly, this coming Friday, the first meeting this coming Friday, it's the 24th of July, of the Joint Services Social Club for Veterans on the Isle of Man. Steve Christie is in charge of all this. You want as many people there as possible, Steve, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we certainly do. There's a lot of veterans on the island that we know about. There's also a lot of veterans that we don't know about.
So what was the reason for setting this up? Why did you want it?
Initially, there's lots of splinter groups and clubs around the island, and I'm a member of a few of them. But this one is really all about our social life, and obviously we have a different generations and different times, you know, where everybody likes to do different things. So we're trying to bring something that's a bit more like-minded to our generations.
Is this purely for people who are in the armed services?
Yes, it's just out there for all veterans serving or non-serving veterans and reserves and all that sort of stuff.
How many people? Do you know how many people are veterans on the island?
Off the top of my head, I don't know, but we are, and it has been spoken about before, but I do think we're looking at a couple of thousand. So there's a lot more than people actually think.
So it's definitely many hundred.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I find out things all the time. I was in the pool the other day and I heard somebody say that, you know, he just had a hip replacement and because of military life. I'd never seen the person before. Mm. And, you know, so there are people out there. There are, and it's, we're trying to reach out to all of those people because the big thing of the military is social.
Just explain to me then, when you were saying going across the generations, there are many different generations. What do you mean?
Well, we have, you know, we have veterans right back from National Service vets, and now a lot of younger veterans that have served in, you know, Iraq, Bosnia, Kosovo, Afghanistan, all that sort of, and they're a lot younger and a lot but the one thing we all have in common is this camaraderie and this sense of humour, and it's very difficult to replicate anything that we had in the military, whether we're in a private's mess, a corporal's mess, a sergeant's mess or an officer's mess. It was all like-minded events and we all kind of enjoyed the same and chewed the same fat, and that's what we're trying to replicate with the Joint Services Social Club, and just get like-minded people. And it very much helps, I believe, my personal opinion is it also helps with any issues that people might have because they can talk about it with like-minded people that have been there and seen it and done it.
See, Steve, for many people who've never experienced military life, the concept of the discipline, the order, the routine, if you like, the regimentation of a life. People in Civvy Street sometimes won't even understand that. And you're saying that if somebody's been used to that, and particularly within conflict, they can sometimes feel like a fish out of water when they get to Civvy Street.
Very much so. I remember I left the military in 2006, after 20 years. And for the first 2 years, I was lost. And I felt lost, no sense of belonging, trying to just fit in somewhere. with something. And the thing is, you don't really know what you want to do either. It's, you know, because our careers have been so diverse and we've been able to do so many different things, you don't concentrate on the one thing. So you might specialise in logistics, let's say, but you won't always do that. You'll still have to be a soldier and do things on the ground, the same way as an engineer wouldn't just do engineering. He still has to be a soldier. So we all have these hats that we have to wear throughout your whole time, and depending on how long you stay in and what rank you achieve, depends on how many different hats you wear in your career.
So it's this coming Friday. Whereabouts is it?
It's the Manx Legion on the 24th, and it's a meet and greet. It's actually out on Facebook, and it's called The Beer Call. So we're trying to get everybody in just to have a beer and a chat, meet the committee that was formed. A lot happened over lockdown. We had a lot of Zoom calls because the committee was selected by then. And there's a website that's been put together already. They can send, they can go onto the website, which is the JSSC IOM, and they can send us on there are the membership forms, any information they want to know about the JSSC, and they can send us an email to the JSSC IOM at outlook.com.
JSSC IOM at outlook.com. By definition, you were saying that military life enforces a kind of self-discipline, almost a solitude in many ways, because you will go into what you're comfortable with yourself. There may be somebody listening now, man, woman, who was in the military and just thinks, I quite like the idea of this, but it sounds not like me. What do you say to them?
This is the number one rule of our club is we are a social club. We're not a political platform for anything. We're not trying to push any agenda or anything else. We're just like-minded people that like to go and have a beer, maybe sit down and have a nice dinner, take your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever it might be, to a black tie event or whatever, and it doesn't cost us an arm and a leg to do it because we pay a subscription throughout the year. So the club it's a members club only. It's £5 a month, which is £60 a year, and that purely goes to entertainment for the club and everybody in it.
No age restriction at all, I take it?
No, the only prerequisite is you have to be a veteran. And with that, you'll have a service number and a regiment or a corps that you were in. And that's part of the membership form and that all. So once you've filled that in, if the membership secretary has any further questions, he will then email you and ask them.
Okay, so it's JSSCIOM at outlook.com, did you say
yes.
It was? And it's also on Facebook as well. What are you hoping success will look like, Steve, for this?
I would like to think that we bring all veterans under one roof, regardless of what corps or area they were in, whether they were Army, Navy, Air Force, it doesn't matter. We have, like I said, there's lots of splinter clubs where the Navy have a bit and RAF, but we're all struggling. All the clubs are struggling, you know, because there's only a few members of each. But if we bring it under one roof and we have this as our social event, then we could, you know, achieve massive amounts and have some fantastic nights out. And it just can only go from strength to strength.
Good. Well, we wish you well. Let us know how everything goes. And that's the Joint Services Social Club. And it's this coming Friday, the 24th, at the Legion on the Quay in Douglas. What time's it start?
7 o'clock.
Good to be with you. Thanks for being with us
today.
Thank
you very much.
That's Steve Christie on The Man in Line.
The winning continues next week on Manx Radio when we have another huge prize to give away, a seventh generation iPad from Manx Telecom. Each day from Monday through to Friday, we'll have a pixelated picture on the Manx Radio Facebook page of a mystery island location. And when we open the window of opportunity and give a short clue, you'll have 5 minutes to text your answer. We'll then do the prize draw at the end of the week on The Late Show with Stu. So make sure you like the Manx Radio Facebook page and make sure you're with us all next week on The Nation Station when an iPad from Manx Telecom could be yours.
It's 16 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Tomorrow, it's Budget Day on the Isle of Man. Alfred Cannon, MHK, the Treasury Minister, is going to stand up in front of Tynwald and present the budget statement. And, of course, the past 4 months has been an enormous weight on our financial reserves on the Isle of Man. We'll see exactly what's happening. You heard in the news that unemployment is at a recent record high. And at some point, the island has to start adding to the reserves rather than draining away. And also today, the Mananan took Manx residents off the Isle of Man to Heysham. Today is the day that you can start to leave the Isle of Man to go to the UK and beyond, and go wherever you want. Come back, you have to self-isolate, but that is the next stage. This coming Friday, the Ben McCree starts twice daily runs to Heysham, and the Mananan will be going to Liverpool. So another stage that we go to. Is there a sense of complacency, do you think, on the Isle of Man about the coronavirus pandemic? You only have to look at the statistics. It is raging in certain places around the world. Well, one journalist on the Isle of Man thinks there is a sense of complacency. Yesterday on Manx Radio on Perspective with Donald Mercer, he was joined by Jess Ward from Isle of Man Newspapers, Paul Moulton from MTTV, and Josh Stokes of ITV's Granada Reports. They were reflecting on what it's been like to cover the COVID-19 pandemic. Josh Stokes spoke about how he feels the Isle of Man is taking it.
There's been a lot going around saying, you know, the government done a great job. From an outside perspective, from, you know, from a UK perspective, people are looking at the Isle of Man and going, you know, the Isle of Man, look at the figures, look, they've got no social distancing, they're all in the pub, it's all back to normal, fantastic. But the point is, we as journalists are not here to go, well done, brilliant, you know, we'll move on, everything's gone well. We're still here to scrutinise. There's still a lot to talk about with the coronavirus. There's still, you know, Abbotsford's one thing, but there's a lot of other things to still go over here in time to come. And I hate to say it, but there's also that second wave that is potentially looming in future that could start everything off again. And this atmosphere that I felt being here now is a very celebratory atmosphere of we've done it, look at us, brilliant, and almost
at risk of complacency.
Yes, very. That's the impression I've got. There's a very complacent view here. Whether that's the right one to have or not, I don't know. But especially with the easing off of the conferences and the, you know, we look at what we've done, celebrate, you know, Tynwald Day, etc. And I feel there is a risk looming that there could be, you know, if and, you know, God forbid it does, but if there's a second wave or anything, there could be a further panic, and it then will come back into play and it will be back asking the questions and everything going forward there. But I obviously don't want that to happen, but I do feel like there's a sense of complacency here.
That's the question you keep asking now. I say you because I'm not going to now, is what number has to be hit for the virus, you know, to imported for all the lockdown to happen? And that question will be asked every single week because there's no answer yet. No one knows anything until it comes in. And that's why it's important.
The words of the journalist yesterday on Perspective on Manx Radio. How do you feel about that? And how do you feel about the way that journalists have covered the pandemic? You've heard they were the people, Joss and Jess and Paul, and of course Tim Glover from Manx Radio. Lots of people have been asking questions of the politicians. Remember when we used to have them 7 days a week, the media conferences, down to five, and now just one a week. That question posed by Paul Moulton, how many cases do we have before things lock down again? There will be some point, and of course you've heard ministers on this programme say there will be days when we say a confirmed positive test has been completed. Somebody on the Isle of Man will have coronavirus. And what do we do then? And how does the government decide which key workers need to self-isolate when they arrive on the Isle of Man? Something the Speaker of the House of Keys, Ewan Watterson, hopes to find out at this month's sitting of Tynwald.
I think it's just a concern against making sure that people are undergoing the same risk assessment. It's not necessarily the job that they do. It's the risk that they pose that's being managed as people come to the island. Mm. I just want to make sure that that's absolutely the case. Just because somebody is maybe a doctor or a nurse, does that mean that they pose any different risk when they cross the border? And the answer is generally no. So I want to understand a bit more about how the department is making these key distinctions, because they are critical to managing the effectiveness of the border controls.
Those exemptions, though, they are needed, really, though, aren't they? If somebody like a doctor is suddenly needed on the front line.
It is, and that's where we need to make sure that the risk assessments that are done and the controls that are put in place are proportionately more vigorous for those people who are not going to be going through the home quarantine process. So it's understanding how things are being managed differently with different groups. I think there's been a lot of confusion about this over the last few months, where people have been coming over to the Isle of Man and some have had different conditions put on them than others. So an opportunity there again for the government to explain some of these differences, how they've been assessed and why different terms and conditions are being put on different groups coming over the border.
Juan Watterson, the Speaker of the House of Keys, and the rules regarding key workers on the Isle of Man. Karen dropped me a note. Thanks. The government needs to look after our ex-servicemen and women. Mr. Watterson, that's Juan Watterson, you just heard him, with another hat on, is the government's champion for the armed forces. So having a senior politician who has experience of the forces is of benefit. Plus, as a colonel and naval commander, Mr. Watterson can understand the ups and downs of servicemen. Furthermore, I hope he becomes patron of the Forces Club, because he can garner a feel for what's needed. Thank you, Karen, and lots of love for Steve Christie coming in on the text as well. That's the Joint Services Social Club for Veterans. And it is a social club. You heard Steve mention it's a fiver a month, purely for the entertainment, if you like, the social welfare of anybody who is a military veteran. And more information on the Facebook page, the Joint JSSC Facebook page. And if you want to email them, it's jssciom@outlook.com. Good to talk to Steve Christie. We get lots of feedback, by the way, regarding UK number plates on the Isle of Man. Anecdotally, well, we haven't been able to get an official note from the government. We've asked them 10 times. But anecdotally, what we have heard is that there is a 5-month waiting list at the vehicle registration at the licensing centre. A 5-month waiting list to get UK plated vehicles with a Manx plate. I think the rule now is that you have a year, if you bring a UK registered vehicle to the Isle of Man, you have a year to get it onto a Manx plate. And at the moment, there's a 5-month waiting list. That's what we've heard. If you're trying to get a UK plated vehicle onto a Manx plate, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got an official letter, you can scan to us and send it, then that would be nice. And if anybody at the government wants to respond officially, that would be absolutely terrific. 23 minutes past 12. So, who's leaving the Isle of Man and what's the officialdom like?
Does your accountant support your business? At Nicola Bowker & Co., we help over 200 businesses to thrive. See how we can help your business. Contact Nicola Bowker & Co. today on 861271 for a free meeting.
Crossroads Isle of Man.
Crossroads have been providing services to local carers and people with care needs for over 30 years. As the leading provider of support for carers on the island, our services are all about improving the lives of carers and giving them a break from caring. Visit crossroadsiom.org for more information.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
Welcome to the Miller Chaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Miller Chaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Miller Chaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
At Recruitment Works, we have a reputation for results. We go out of our way for our clients. If you need someone with a specific skill set, we'll make sure we find it. Recruitment Works is registering fantastic candidates remotely. We have the skills, the experience, and the passion to provide you with the right people for your business. Visit us at recruitmentworks.im or call 629676. Recruitment Works. Recruitment that works. Conestoga Bank have been helping people for over 85 years, and we're here to help your business through this global pandemic. As a local bank, we can either stand by or stand up, and we choose to stand fast to our commitment to this island. If your business has been affected, we can help with our new working capital loan with repayment terms over 1 to 5 years. For the first 12 months, you will only repay interest to allow your business time to recover. Call 694-694 and let Conestoga Bank help you. Terms and conditions apply.
With so much uncertainty, making travel arrangements has been difficult recently. The Isle of Man Steam Packet Company understand this and have introduced the Book with Confidence commitment to provide greater flexibility and peace of mind. Our Book with Confidence commitment means amendment fees will be waived if your plans have to change due to COVID-19 government-imposed travel restrictions. We'll even give you a full refund should your booking with us be cancelled. Visit steam-packet.com for details and full terms and conditions.
There are still a hatful of ifs and buts and maybes.
We won't really know what the position is, I think, until sort of September, October.
But the economic position we're in as a nation will become a little clearer in the July tin wall.
We'll be trying to deal with that with a new economic plan, which we'll be bringing forward alongside the budget update in July.
This budget is not about prosperity, it's about survival. It's about jobs, your job, your business, your family. Alf Cannon will tell us his plan on Tuesday, July the 21st, and when he sits down, Manx Radio will start the process of analysing where it leaves us. It's your future we're talking about.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
And Ewan Gawn is with me. Ewan is off to Liverpool soon, is that right?
Yeah, a week. No. Yeah, 2 weeks on Sunday.
This is for personal reasons, that's right?
Yeah, that's right. I, like many others, have been unable to visit one of my loved ones, my girlfriend who lives in Liverpool, since lockdown began at the end of March. And now with the latest changes that are coming in from today, I will be able to do that. And thankfully, my employer has been willing to let me work from home for 2 weeks afterwards.
Manx residents now can travel off Ireland to the UK and beyond from today. It's a big day today, the 20th of July. The government's border policy moves from 5 to 4. It's like a Thunderbird countdown. Anyone wishing to go away and return to the Isle of Man has to apply for a Manx entry permit. Have you filled the form out?
I did. They went online on Friday, so I thought I'm going to get this done straight away. It's really, really simple, to be honest. You go to the online services part of the government website, and that's where, you know, you do your tax forms and things online. There's a separate tab for this, Manx Entry Permits. It asks for your tax reference number and your national insurance number. And then once you've done that, you're away.
So you're official now then, you can definitely go.
I own a Manx entry permit, and once you've got one, that's all you need, you've got it. The only other thing you have to do is 48 hours prior to your arrival back on the Isle of Man, you have to complete a landing registration form.
So you can't just pitch up on the return boat and just expect to get in if you don't fill one out?
No, you've got to do this in advance. I think for those who wish to do paper copies, there is facility for you to do that. But basically, the reason you have to do that is it puts your address in, basically, and where you've been. So if you've been to somewhere that's badly hit by COVID, they'll know. And it tells you where you're going to be self-isolating, so they know where you're going to be for 2 weeks.
So you've had to tell them where you're going in Liverpool?
Not yet. No. At the moment, when you just apply for the entry permit, you get it. You don't have to say anything about where you're going and why you're going, etc. But when you come back 48 hours prior to coming back to the island, you've got to fill in this landing card that right. sort of declares all these details.
What happens if you've been to two or three places, if you stayed with different people?
I think they'll check in on the history, but to be honest, as far as I'm aware, it's where you're going to be self-isolating is the crucial information, so right. they can check up on you.
Which is the one thing that pops up all the time. How do we believe people who say they're going to self-isolate?
Well, we're told there's going to be...
Are we just trusting people?
I can't speak for the government, but we're told there'll be random checks. They'll be face-to-face. They'll be on the phone. We don't know yet whether it's going to be police. We know there's a new border team that are going to be at the airport to make all this very easy for you as a passenger. I would stress they're going to be saying, have you done this? Have you done that? We'll help you do it. But I suppose they're not going to be able to check up on everyone all the time. So there will be an element of trust.
And the sea terminal as well, presumably.
Yeah, any port of entry, I believe.
And of course, now the steam packet's going to twice a day, Ben McCree to Heysham, and Friday to Monday, I think, Manan and to Liverpool as well. So that border team's going to be busy.
That's correct. And we also got to distinguish between people coming from Guernsey. They'll be coming this week as well. And they're not party to these rules. Because we've got this air corridor with Guernsey, they won't be having to fill out a landing card. Another important point to mention as well, Andy, you're going to have to wear a mask when you're travelling. That's on the boat or on the air. You're going to have to wear a mask.
Because that's a UK regulation, is that right?
That is as well. And I think that uniformity makes sense. It makes sense anyway. But yeah, that's one of the requirements.
I don't want to be flippant, but will there be masks available? If people forget a mask, will you be able to get one at the airport or sea terminal?
I don't think that's been made clear by government. I think at the present time, I understand you're going to have to get one in preparation for this. I've been unlucky enough to pop to a pharmacy and get a couple in preparation.
I'd get half a dozen if I were you.
But I don't think they're going to be handing them out.
Ewan, when you get back, how do you get home?
Right, this is the thing that occupied my mind initially. I thought, how am I going to do that? According to the latest government advice, I can book a taxi, telling the taxi driver I've come from off island. I can get a lift from a member of my household, but it has to be a member of my household where I'm going to be self-isolating. They can come and pick me up. I can't walk home, according to the government PR. I can't walk home. I can't get public transport. And I couldn't get a lift from somebody who I wasn't going to be self-isolating with. Oh, and of course, if you want to bring your car to the airport, you can leave your car and get back in it to drive home. But you have to go straight home.
The word complacency has been bandied around ever since it's been, over 2 months now that we haven't had a case on the Isle of Man. But this could open the door to something, couldn't it? There could be somebody coming back on your plane or on the boat that's got it.
Yeah, and I think the Chief Minister and the Health Minister in their conferences, they've been pretty clear about this. This is a risk. There is an element of risk. There is no way that there can't be. We are opening our doors to let people go to a country that's been devastated by coronavirus. But at the same time, we're also hearing about how preparedness is the word of the day. The contract tracing teams are up and ready to go. The border team is prepared. So they have thought about it and they are thinking about, a second wave and the preparation for that. I think as well, the UK infection rate is falling. That's why we've moved to stage four. Stage three is next if it continues to fall. So I think, there is going to be risk. But with that, there is also rewards for people being able to go see their loved ones for the first time. And there's also the economic benefits of opening your borders a bit.
How bothered are you, Ewan?
About?
Coronavirus.
I think it's... It's different. It's a different thing for every person. If I was shielding, if I was a carer, if I was an elderly person, I'd be much more afraid of it than I am. I'm very lucky to be young and have my health. So it's not. It is something I care about. But ultimately, I think it's different fears for different people.
And you've lived in China as well, so. But how long ago was it you lived in China?
Where are we now? 6 years ago, I think. So I think I've just missed, cleared the COVID period.
Well, I just wanted to ask about that because so many people have a misconception about China and how it is. And we've heard the bad stuff about, bird flu and this, that and the other. Whereabouts in China did you live?
Hunan province, south central China. Okay. Yeah, just up from Guangzhou, which is just above Hong Kong.
And what was your view of China?
Oh, it was an amazing place. I mean, I think when people talk about China and viruses and stuff, they forget just how densely populated these areas are. I mean, huge numbers of people all over that country. And I think, if there's anywhere where you're going to get, the potential for that, it would be somewhere super populated. But it was a fantastic experience.
So from today, you can leave and you can come back still. Only Manx residents can come and key workers to the Isle of Man.
Yeah, that's correct. So this is not for people from across, not for non-Isle of Man residents. You can't come in and self-isolate here unless you've gone through one of the exemptions which are on offer. No, so it's just for Isle of Man residents who want to leave the island and then come back, provided they do the 2 weeks. But it's interesting you mentioned that. The next stage, stage three of the borders framework, I believe that's going to be you can invite somebody from the UK, say, to come to the Isle of Man, but they have to self-isolate with you. That's stage three. I believe that's under strict control and conditions. But should the infection rate continue to fall in the UK and the Manx government decide they do want to move to the next stage, that's what we can expect.
Have we heard anything about the Republic of Ireland?
In what sense?
About people coming from the Republic of Ireland to the Isle of Man. Because obviously there's still no direct link. And the Isle of Man's got strong connections with Ireland. Many people on the Isle of Man have got very close relatives in the Republic.
I think a lot of that's tied up to connectivity through the plane, through the boat. I mean, people were asking about the Republic of Ireland before coronavirus, why there aren't stronger links on a travel sense. So I believe it's not been considered in the COVID context because we've got UK, largest trading partner, 80% of the trade with the UK. That's got to be the focus. The opportunity has arisen with Guernsey. But in terms of the conversation about Ireland, you don't hear it mentioned.
Good to be with you. Thanks, Ewan. Good to talk to you. Ewan Gawne and the new normal, as it were, to stage five. Hello, Jack. You're live on the Man in Line.
Hi. Good afternoon. We just came back last night, my wife and I, from being locked down in Morocco, where, incidentally, we listened to Manx Radio on the internet and especially the Man in Line 12-1. However, I digress a little. Obviously, we are now in quarantine. The system coming back yesterday from London City Airport went very, very well indeed. No problems at all. The sad thing, there's only six people of us on the flight. That was an awful shame. Coming back through the airport, no problems with the papers. I downloaded the entry documents, etc. So no problems whatsoever. Taxi driver there, sanitised, no problem. No complaints. But my point is, and I actually did email you a couple of weeks ago about this same problem. Why can we not have the COVID test, which will then either prove we have no symptoms, obviously, but hopefully then you would get a negative result. So consequently, why do we then, within a day or so, why do we have to stay in isolation for the next 14 days if we have a negative test?
How long were you in Morocco, Jack?
Since January, since the beginning, we were coming back a couple of days previous to the lockdown. Oh, it's been a nightmare. All the flights were cancelled and we ended up coming back four flights yesterday, well, over the last 2 days. Agadir to Tangier, Tangier to Gatwick, Gatwick taxi to London City, overnight. Oh,
and you were, I take it you're on holiday in Morocco initially.
Yes, that's right. Well, we have a holiday home there, you know. We go every few months sort of thing.
My word. Well, you're not sick and tired of the sight of Morocco now, are you?
Well, we're missing the weather. Having said that, it's a beautiful day today. So, no, we're not sick and tired of Morocco.
And what's the situation for coronavirus like in Morocco?
Well, here's an amazing thing. They're... rates of infection are far lower than the UK rate. In fact, they have as well just suspended the, isolation where we had to isolate there as well, and you need documents to travel. But they did let you travel to the local supermarket or the chemist, but you did have documents. It's a bit of a faffing about thing, but it's only paperwork.
And is
but by and large, they've got it right because they locked down earlier than the UK.
And is the ferry still going to Cadiz? Is it still going to Spain?
No. There are still no ferries, but there are flights coming out. They don't go to Cadiz, they go to Algeciras, but yes, I know what you mean. No, those... But... there are ferries direct from Tangier to Sète in France, in southern France. So you can get out, if you wish, by ferry. A lot of campers are down there at the moment.
Good to talk to you. I bet you got a heck of a tan, haven't you?
Oh, not bad. Got lots of vitamin D, you see. That's all I do it for, to be honest.
I'm sure you do. Thanks for calling us today, Jack.
Well, the main point is I'd like to have this definitive answer why we just can't have a test to prove we are negative and then we don't have to carry on 14 days. Have you any thoughts on that?
Okay, well, I've got that one jotted now. And in fact, I think I've got your two emails in my box as well, ready for when we get to speak to a minister again.
Okay.
Thanks, Jack. Good to talk to you. Thanks for calling the man in line today. To all our listeners in Morocco, we wish you well as well. It's 20 to 1 on Manx Radio. A protest is being planned outside Tynwald tomorrow against the road changes. And you know which road I'm talking about. The creation of a bus lane on Glencuttery Road has been the subject of criticism from drivers, who say it's causing backlogs of traffic into Onchan. Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker says the changes are needed to alleviate pressure on Douglas Promenade, of course undergoing major refurbishment, first in 100 years. And that's currently one way at the moment. Mike Birchall is a taxi driver. He's one of those behind the protest tomorrow. He spoke to Alex Watton about why they're doing it.
The main issue that we have is that the bus lane was painted onto the road without any prior consultation with the police, with the MHKs or the general public, and it was painted there on the 14th of June. We asked at that time, on the 15th of June, I sent an email off to the DOI asking where the order was for this bus lane, and I got no reply. I got an email back a week later and that question still wasn't answered. Then on the 22nd of June, like a miracle, the order for the bus lane appeared printed in the Isle of Man Examiner, meaning that it was put in force at 6 a.m. on the 29th of June. So we've had the bus lane down for a total of 10 days before the order was even applied for, and 17 days before it actually was enforceable. So that's the main issue. How can this happen, that the DOI doesn't have to follow regulations and can just come along and paint a bus lane in without following the correct procedure? That's one issue that we have. It's dangerous as well. We can see across the road, we have the crematorium. Now, when we've got funerals on at the crem, it's obviously been a rush job to put this bus lane in, and nobody has had a thought for the people when there's funerals on. There should be double yellow lines across the road there outside the crem, because what happens is people come along for funerals, they've got nowhere to park, they have to park there, and traffic is then forced into the oncoming lane, forcing traffic that's going down towards St Ninian's to cross into the bus lane anyway. Okay, this might only be a few times a week, but there's been a few near misses here already. I had a near miss the other week on Thursday afternoon with a car entering my lane, which I wasn't expecting. So that's another issue that we have.
You're protesting, or you're planning a protest outside of Tynwald. What do you hope to achieve with that?
There's people that have commented on Facebook saying, why are we protesting? This is only a temporary measure. It's here until September. Now, what we have to remember as well is that we were a week into having a bus lane when the DOI actually announced that it was only a temporary measure. Nobody even knew it was a temporary measure. So we don't even know whether this was sort of a half a U-turn by them. But what we hope to achieve is, one, we would like the bus lane gone. If that's going to happen, we don't know. Tim Baker seems to be standing on his heels and saying this is staying no matter what. None of the MHKs want it. The vast majority of the general public don't want it and see it as dangerous and ridiculous. But what we certainly want to achieve is that in future there is consultation regarding these matters, and that the DOI can't just go ahead and do things without consulting our MHKs, without consulting the police, and without consulting the general public.
Well, it's happening tomorrow, a protest outside Tynwald against the road changes on Glencuttery Road. Lots of comments in today on the man in line. Joan said, I hope all the people who'll be travelling aren't going to be moaning if they can't get back if we go into lockdown due to cases of COVID. Oh, complicating everything. Crikey. Let me see. If you can ask, will those travelling to Guernsey have to fill in landing forms when they return to the office? Not heard anything. I think you can just come and go to Guernsey, come what may, although there will be some form filling. The Chief Minister said that when travellers should quarantine from family members, yet Ewan said they can collect a traveller from the airport. It all sounds a bit woolly. The travellers should self-isolate. If you're travelling back to a house, you can get a lift from the airport or the sea terminal from a member of the household in which you will be self-isolating, although the person coming back or the people coming back are expected to self-isolate from other members of the household. If that makes it clear. So if there's a separate bathroom, then you're to use a separate bathroom. If not, you're supposed to clean all the time. Same with loos and what have you. And you're not supposed to be in the same room. It is a challenge, isn't it? It is a compromise. A note that said, as we're out of lockdown, there'll be live events held on the island for pre-organised virtual festival, apparently, for the Celtic nations. Andy, I'm going away for a medical checkup. Do I have to self-isolate? I would imagine you do, John. The government did us proud, said Liz. They did the right things at the right time, and I will trust them entirely to do the right thing this time too. What we don't need is a lot of negativity from journalists. And I felt during the question session that the journalist questions were getting a bit painful because there was really nothing that they could criticise, says Liz. I don't know whether you heard Perspective yesterday. Dolan Mercer spoke to three of the people who were in that questioning panel, Jess Ward from the newspapers, Paul Moulton from MTTV, and Josh Stokes from ITV. Interesting listen that was yesterday. 14 minutes to one on The Man in Line today.
Manx Radio. At Athol Garage, we've a fantastic offer available this month. Every car sold comes with a free 3-year service plan. Yes, you heard that right. 3 years free servicing. Visit our showroom or athol.in. Find us on Facebook or call
Athol Garage, Balasalam, 820082.
Something wonderful happens when the sun shines. The Lifestyle Furniture Summer Sale is now on, with sensational sunny savings and promotional offers throughout our showroom. With full safety measures in place, it's the perfect time to discover a beautiful new piece for your home in our vibrant and eclectic ranges of living, dining and bedroom furniture, art and accessories. The Lifestyle Furniture Summer Sale, on now, with free island-wide delivery and 0% interest-free credit subject to status. Open 7 days a week.
Office World at Spring Valley is the island's largest one-stop shop for packaging materials. We stock everything from huge rolls of bubble wrap to single envelopes, padded bags, mailing tubes, labels, packaging tape, storage boxes, and much more. Office World has everything you need to package your goods safely and securely. Office World is also home to the island's largest stationery store, with over 4,000 products under one roof, with free parking right outside the front door. It has to be Office World at Spring Valley Estate, Braddon.
Isle of Man farmers markets are still open as normal, but with social distancing precautions in place. So come along and support your local farmers markets, where you can still buy a wide range of fresh, fabulous, great value Manx produce. Just keep 2 metres apart and follow signage and instructions when you visit. For the latest updates, including times and locations, visit iomfm.co.uk or find us on Facebook. Isle of Man Farmers Markets. Please help us to help you.
You wouldn't throw your money down the drain, so why pay over the odds for your car and van insurance? Blackford & Company's car and van insurance is designed for Isle of Man residents, with local service and internet prices. Blackford & Company believe this is their best car and van insurance yet. So if you're aged between 21 and 80, call today on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Don't delay, call Blackford's today. Why pay more when you can pay less? Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Now is the perfect time to join Peel Golf Club. It's the friendly golf club, with a wide range of affordable membership options to suit every golfer. We're confident we'll have a membership package to suit you. Non-members are also welcome, with Peel Golf Club's pay-as-you-play option. Peel Golf Course is well maintained and has a thriving ladies section for information on membership and more. Search online for Peel Golf Club or email peelgc@manx.net.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
Monday lunchtime on Manx Radio. Thank you, Graham. He said a test doesn't detect C19. I think there's a time frame when it may not be detectable. And I think all the form filling is to create a paper trail. And Cindy said, Andy, your earlier asked why people couldn't just have a COVID test on return and then not need to self-isolate for 14 days if negative. It's because a person can test negative on the day of the test but still have or develop or be carrying the virus and pass it on. Isolating for 14 days stops the possible spread. I've got somebody who wants to speak to you. Last Thursday, the Man in Line celebrated the 120th anniversary of our remarkable Gaiety Theatre on Douglas Promenade. Many people spoke of their involvement with their work on or at and their affection, even love for the Gaiety Theatre. One person we couldn't fit in last Thursday was Roy McMillan, the man who wrote the book Full Circle, 100 Years of the Gaiety Theatre and Opera House. Now, Roy was a distinctive voice for many years on Manx Radio. Roy, how did you get involved with the Gaiety Theatre?
It all started when I arrived on the island dressed as a toad for a production of Tales of Toad Hall. And I was there to promote the production. I was pictured in the newspapers handing out flyers and terrifying children. And, of course, I got to meet Mervyn, who brought me up to Manx Radio, and he, therefore, was my introduction to Manx Radio as well. And during that week when I was on the island, I got to know Mervyn a little bit and got to know the theatre a little bit and then got to know him and it and the island much, much better over the following couple of years. And from the moment you walked in, certainly for me as an actor at the time, the moment you walked into that space, you knew it was something astonishing and remarkable. And then to have lived on the island and to have been such a close friend of Mervyn and watched his simply extraordinary tenacity, determination, vision and imagination to keep that thing being brought back to life and every element of it revivified was an extraordinary privilege. And as a result of the fact that I was working at the radio station and was interviewing him and doing features with him, as the centenary approached and the grand climacteric was getting closer, we found Keith Urin publishing and proposed the idea of a book to market, and that's where the book The Full Circle came about. And it was really a chance to talk or to write down what Mervyn had been saying for years about Frank Matcham, about the building itself, about its depredations over the many years when theatre was having a hard time and then its resurgence to its extraordinary conclusion in 2000, along with, of course, Dave Wilmore and his amazing work on the stage underneath and the mysteries and secrets they'd managed to tease out from history to recreate on the Gaiety stage.
And how close, Roy, was the Gaiety Theatre on Douglas Promenade to disappearing?
I think it's fair to say that it is sort of miraculous that it's still there. The pressures to do something more useful, in inverted commas, with the space at various times from the 1960s through to the mid to the 90s, I think, must have been really intense. There must have been calls from all sides, from government, from the council, from any number of other industries to tear the thing down and do something more practical with the space. I'm loath to put the words into anybody's mouth, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody at some point said, we need a car park. And what's the point of keeping this? And I think the amateur societies deserve a great deal of credit here. The amateur drama societies on the Isle of Man that was their key presentation space. That was the only stage of its kind, I think, on the island for a long time. And I think the fact that they were still using it was a considerably significant element in its survival.
And Frank Matcham, himself an enormous name. So was it something of an undiscovered gem on the Isle of Man? Do you think most people knew who Matcham was?
I don't imagine so. It was quite a big deal at the time. He was fated when he came over, and the fact that they had got Matcham to build this at the height of his powers, and he was one of three great theatre architects of the time. The fact that they had got him to do this was a coup for the island. It was quite a big deal when the Gaiety Theatre and Opera House was opened. But as is the case with most theatres, very few people know anything about the architects of them nowadays, even in ones that are still hugely celebrated. What is perhaps most significant about the Gaiety is the completeness with which elements of the refurbishment were able to be brought back, partly as a result of its neglect. It had been turned into a cinema, but they had not ripped out everything they had built over. So it was possible to peel back the layers and re-find the original elements that Matcham had put in. And there are, one of the great things about the restoration taking as long as it did, and I'm sure Mervyn will tell you this, is that it enabled that kind of curatorial approach to bringing it back to life, rather than saying, okay, we've got the money, we'll close it for 6 months and redo it. There was an opportunity to research and discover in tremendous detail things like the designs of the wallpaper and the specific colours that were used there, and an opportunity to recreate things that might have been completely lost, like the gaslight at the top of the circle. That glorious stained window was effectively recreated by Mervyn and David when they found shards of glass, worked out roughly what the colour scheme must have been, and then found an example of a theatre that was built at about the same time, which showed the sort of design that Matcham would have brought to bear on the Gaiety. And to be able to create all of this from the understage through to the foyer is, I don't know if it is actually unique in the world, but it's amongst very, very few that have that layer of, that have that completeness about their reconstruction.
Okay, and Roy McMillan, broadcaster, journalist, actor and producer, what does the Gaiety Theatre on Douglas Promenade mean to you?
It means an immense amount. It means a great deal for me personally, because I became such a good friend of Mervyn. It means a possibly immeasurable amount for me professionally, because it was by going to that theatre that I was introduced to Manx Radio. It meant that it was my first visit to the Isle of Man was as a result of that theatre and that tour, and my association with the island, which was 20 years or so, still resonates deeply in me. And just as a man who loves theatre and performance, to have had any kind of close association with something that special is a really rare and remarkable thing.
Roy McMillan, the man who wrote the book Full Circle, 100 Years of the Gaiety Theatre and Opera House. And good to hear Roy again. That's it for The Man in Line. Tomorrow it's all about the money. It's Budget Day tomorrow on the Isle of Man, and this coming Friday, the man giving tomorrow's budget, Alfred Cannon MHK, will be live on The Man in Line between 12 and 1. If you want to get in touch, email maninline@manxradio.com, or the answer phone is 682-631. Thanks to our studio producer today, Howard Kane. I'm Andy Wint, and The Man in Line is back tomorrow at 12.